How many of you know we serve a good God? He's good all the time. And He's good to me and He's good to you. We see His goodness throughout creation. Everywhere we look, we can see the goodness of God. People want to get you focused on the evil that's in the world. But if you'll get focused on what God is doing, you'll see that He's moving in the earth today. And everywhere we're going, Dr. Savelle and I and Brother Joe, Brother Tony, we're seeing people that are coming and that they're hungry. And they're hungry for the Word. They're hungry for the things of God. And boy, it's about to get real good. Poke somebody and say, it's about to get real good. Hey, it's going to ramp up fast. It's going to ramp up fast. You better be ready. Because you don't want to miss out on what God's about to do. And He's going to do it tonight, if you let Him. Amen. Father, we just give You praise. We give You glory tonight. You are worthy. There is none like You. And we honor You and praise You tonight. Father, we thank You, Lord, that Your Word goes forth with power, with authority, Lord, with demonstration. And we give You glory and praise in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, you're a winner in God. And you may be seated if you're able. Welcome those of you joining online tonight. You know, if you are watching by way of internet, you really, tonight, you miss out on the atmosphere. There's such a great atmosphere in this place tonight. And sometimes you don't, that doesn't, sometimes it comes across through the camera, sometimes it doesn't. But I encourage you, if you're able to get here, especially if you need a breakthrough in your life, you need a miracle, you need to get in the house of God with the people of God. I'm always encouraged to get around the people of God, and especially around people that are hungry for the things of God. And I think that's a bunch here tonight. I think we got some hungry folks. We're not talking about for Applebee's. You can only have so many of their chicken fajita roll-ups, although good. We're hungry for the things of God. Amen. Yes. Are you ready for the Word tonight?
Yes, sir.
My brother, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. My sister. I'm Eric, for those of you that don't know. Been out on the road, and it's good to be home. We leave for Canada after church on Sunday, so please keep us in your prayers. We're up there for an eight-dayer. An eight-dayer. We're preaching somewhere every night, and really all over Canada from one province to the next. So Canada better get ready, because the fire of God's coming. I want to begin tonight by reading a word of the Lord that Dr. Savelle received November 5th of last year at 2:20 a.m. And then he gave this word in church Sunday night. Many of you in here today have been standing for a breakthrough for a long, long time, wondering when it would happen and if I would do it as you've seen it in your mind. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all worked out. Amen. What I get out of that is, He's God, you're not. I'm thankful that He is. I've already gone before you and surely made a way. Rest assured, your breakthrough is coming. There'll be no more delays. Finances, healings, and miracles too. They've already been arranged for you. So lift your hands and praise me, for I'm the God of the breakthrough. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, what your enemy meant for evil, I've turned into something good. I'll always cause you to triumph, just like I said I would. So no more tears of sorrow, only tears of joy and happiness too. Yes, the God of the breakthrough has broken through for you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise tonight. So as we begin to talk about the word of the Lord for this year, in 2024, this will be a year of progressing. Come on, say it with me. Advancing, promotion, and your highest expectations will be fulfilled. But there were three prerequisites for that. Number one, say if you remember, stay in faith. Number two, stay focused on the promises. And number three, don't allow the devil to distract you from anything that God's doing. That was paraphrased. So when we start talking about progressing and advancing, you have to understand that you have an enemy that does not want you to progress or advance.
That's right.
And so he wants to try to stop your progression, stop you from advancing, and in fact, cause you to remain as you are or cause you to go backwards. And so he does that through a number of different ways. But basically, there's obstacles that he'll throw in your way. And it's then what you do when that obstacle comes in your way of whether you continue to progress or whether you continue to advance.
That's right.
And so eventually what I'm going to begin to share with you are some keys to breakthrough of obstacles that the enemy puts in our way. But we have to lay a foundation in order to get there tonight. So go with me to Exodus chapter 14. So when we talk about staying in faith, I want to ask you this question. It's rhetorical. How do you know you're in faith? When we talk about staying focused on the promises, what has God promised you? And when we talk about refusing to allow anything to distract you, where is your focus? Number one, stay in faith. How do we know we're in faith? Well, Exodus chapter 14, these are God's people that God had brought out of Egypt. And we'll begin in verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?" I want you to notice that anytime it talks about Egypt, if you go back, and Nikki brought this out so lovely in South Africa, and it became a revelation, kind of smacked me in the face. But when the Bible talks about Egypt, it said Abram went down to Egypt. And Egypt is a representative of the ways of the world system, the world's government and system. But God has a higher way. He has a better way. His thoughts are higher. So when it's talking about going to church or going up to Jerusalem or going up to Zion, that God has a higher way. And so here they say, "You brought us up out of Egypt." Yeah, God's people came up and came out of Egypt. That's what you did. If you're born again. You came up and you came out. You were dead spiritually. And you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe he died and rose from the grave. You made him Lord of your life. And your spirit went from being dead to alive. So you came up. You came out of the grave just like Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave. You experienced that same resurrection life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so when we talk about this, they said, you know, there were no graves in Egypt. You've taken us away to die. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? We said, leave us alone, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, I don't know how many of you were here or remember I did a message the first Wednesday of the year, and we talked about the lepers that sat outside the gate. They had three choices. And we have three choices as Christians today that we can go back. They had a choice to go back to the city. There was a famine, so there was nothing there. They could stay where they're at, and or they could go forward to the enemy's camp. And we talked about a couple of things that cause people to remain. One, fear. Two, complacency. We see those same two things right here in this story of the Israelites, where it says, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." They had gotten comfortable and complacent in a system that they were slaves to.
That's right.
And the reason why we know that they were slaves to and not living their best life is because God said to Moses, "I've heard the cries of my people. They have been oppressed by their taskmasters." And so God sent Moses to rescue them. If they didn't need rescuing, then God wouldn't have sent someone to rescue them. Write that down. So here they're saying, you know, they had become dependent. In fact, they talked about, well, at least in Egypt, we got to eat meat. But they misremembered how it was in Egypt. When God brought them up out of Egypt with a cloud by day and a fire by night that stayed with them the whole time. He never left them nor forsook them.
No, he didn't.
Does that sound familiar?
Amen. Yes.
You seeing the parallel here? So they said, verse 10, they were very afraid. But how we know that they weren't in faith at this time was the words that were coming out of their mouth. Because you should have left us. Were there graves in Egypt? Have you taken us away here to die? The words that were coming out of their mouth revealed where their faith was. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, we know enough, in this camp that we know we need to speak right. So sometimes you can know the right things to say, but it not be in your heart.
That's right.
Now, what our prayer is that we'll say it enough where we hear it, where to get down in our heart.
Yes, sir.
But if you remember, Mark 11 says, "Have faith in God. If you'll say to the mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and do not doubt in your heart."
That's right.
And so the challenge for us as Christians is to get enough word in our heart where the word begins to push out all the doubt, all the junk.
That's
so
right.
That our hearts become good soil.
That's
so that it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, that's what we want the soil of our heart to be. Because when it's there, then when we speak, now when we speak the word of God, that has substance. There's substance to faith. Now faith is the what? Substance. What is the substance? It is the word of God that comes out of our mouth.
That's right.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where do we find the things hoped for? In the Word. That's where we know what God has promised us. What has God promised you? It's in His Word. So when we encounter situations, we stay in faith and we understand or don't lose focus on the promise. What was God promised? What had He promised the Israelites? Now you can talk. This is not rhetorical. The promised land. I will take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Right? The promised land. He had promised them this land. Now, the first obstacle that they come to, they lost focus on what God had promised. And then they became distracted. Let's look at this. So Pharaoh's closing in from behind. The Red Sea was in front of them. Y'all know the story. Pharaoh's closing in from behind. They saw the Red Sea in front. It says they looked. They saw Pharaoh's army coming from behind. They began to complain. They lost focus on what God had promised. And they got distracted. They broke all three of Brother Jerry's rules. Well, we know they're God's rules, but you know what I'm saying. Right there. Broke all three rules. At least they could have gotten two out of three. Am I right? You know, we're working on the third. No, broke all three. Okay. Come to church, sit, listen. But they had a good leader. I said they had a good leader.
Yes.
Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." So Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Stay in faith." When you come to an obstacle, don't be afraid. Stay in faith. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." See, Moses had faith in his heart. He knew God. He knew God. The Lord just recently told me, He said, it's good that you studied who you are in Christ. That's good. In fact, Nikki, years ago, and I think with some input from her parents, and there was a collaboration, we made a bunch of scripture keys for healing. So 7 pages, you know, you go through healing scriptures and begin to confess them over your body. And it was not so that you can earn healing, but it was so that you could renew your mind to what was already yours and get your mind in line with your spirit. Okay. We did one on abundant life, which was prosperity. And then she did one on who you are in Christ. Well, growing up in a Pentecostal church, I had a misunderstanding of who I was in Christ. And I thought that, you know, if I sinned, I could be unsaved. So I was all the time repenting.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm talking about, I got saved 175 times. You know, my daily prayer was, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, even the ones I don't know about, and bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought if I sinned, God turned his back on me. He was mad at me all the time. So I'm performing all the time. And it's a tough way to live as a Christian.
It is.
Now, we're supposed to live right, but if you understand who you are in Christ, then that begins to become your desire, you know, and that you've been given a new nature, that you're a new creation. And that's why I'll tell you that if you are new in Christ, that don't beat yourself up, condemn yourself because you think you're not good at this. Jesus was good at it, and he did everything for you. You press into him.
Yes.
If you sin, you run to him.
Come on.
Run to him every single time. The blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you. Run to him. Don't withdraw from him.
Amen.
And the more you grow in Christ, the stronger you get, the stronger you get, and the stronger you get. Where the things that used to trip you up no longer trip you up.
That's good, Eric.
Those little ankle bites, you don't even feel them anymore.
Yeah.
So he said to me, it's good that you understand who you are in Christ. He said, but until you know who Christ is in you.
That's good.
Then your faith can't be as effective.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
So he said, until you know who Christ is in you. Your faith will be more effective if you know who he is in you. So we got to know what he did. We got to know how he operates, how he loves.
That's right.
So here they are. We're back. God's people. God bless them. God bless God's people. We're getting there. Say amen to that.
Amen.
He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Did Moses know what God was going to do? No, he did not. He did not know. He spoke faith. Stand still and see what God will do. Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He didn't know what God was going to do. But he knew God. And he knew that if God had led them, he led them. Do you understand? They didn't get to the Red Sea on accident. He led them. There's another scripture that said if he'd have led them another way, that they would have been so close that some of them might have quit and gone back to Egypt. They were too far to go back. They were too far to quit now.
Amen.
He got them. He led them. He's not going to lead you into disaster. You have to know that's not in his nature to lead you to disaster. That's not in his nature. Because he's love. So he's not going to trick you to teach you a lesson.
That's right.
He'll just teach you the lesson. Right? He led them. Cloud by day, fire by night. Led them. And now here they are. The Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh's army is closing in behind them. What are we going to do? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses says. Which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. That's strong words from the man of God. He said, the Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. In other words, he said, the southern way, hush. Hush. Hold your peace, hush. One thing you could do is resist saying something in opposition to what God's trying to do. I want to share a story, you know, a true story. But I used to, if you heard the phrase, that gets on my nerves. Well, it was years ago, and we had a new business venture we were working on, and the stress level was high. It was calls all the time, and I was chasing money at that time. I was chasing it. So I was toiling. If you heard that teaching by Bill Winston, I was toiling all the way. Anxiety, worry, stress. It wasn't, even though I was giving and doing this, I was just caught up in it. And I used to say that phrase, that gets on my nerves, until during that time, the left side of my face froze up. And I looked like this. And so, I felt it come on at the country club restaurant. I was like, man, it feels weird. And I looked at Nikki. She goes, because one eye is like this. I'm like cockeyed. And so I went to the doctor. They said, you have this Bell's palsy. I said, well, so you study it, whatever, and they can't really tell you what it is, but most of the time they think it comes by stress. And so anyway, I got through that, and you're looking in the mirror like, God, is this gonna? I mean, some of my friends that saw me, I had to go to a meeting in Colorado. Like I'm 2 days into this, and they still talk about it. Like it scared them. And found out after, it took about 2 months for that to unfreeze, Doc, you know. And where my face started feeling, you know, it's these nerves that freeze up. And the Lord shared with me. He said, I said that phrase again. He said, that phrase was part of the reason why you experienced that, because it was a nerve thing. Why didn't you tell me that before? The words of our mouth. Words of our mouth. So it's best that if you don't know what to say, like Mama said, don't say nothing at all. Don't say nothing at all. So Moses said, the Lord will fight for you. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Go forward. So if you're Moses and God just told you this, and you're standing there, and God says, go forward, and then you turn and look, there's the Red Sea. That's forward. So then we start giving ourselves a pep talk. God, you're the God of the impossible. I believe in the God of, you can do anything. God can do, if I have faith, if I say to this, go forward. Just recently, at this same Toronto meeting, Dr. Savelle said that Oral Roberts said that any time that he came up against a difficult time or where he needed the mind of God, he would pray in the Spirit and then ask the Lord for the interpretation of what he prayed. So when I heard this, that were you in that meeting? No. When I heard this, I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm praying in the Spirit, but I haven't been asking the Lord, what am I praying? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to purpose to do that.
Yes. Amen.
So the next day, I wake up and I'm having time with God. Just a good time. And I'm praying in the Spirit. Presence of God's there. Feel His presence. Pray in the Spirit for a while. I like praying in the Spirit. I like it. Anybody over here that likes praying in the Spirit? I mean, I like it. It says you don't know what to pray? Pray in the Spirit. That's what I did when Pastor Justin said, one week, he said, lay your hands on somebody and begin to pray for them. I hate when he does that. But I was standing by Dr. Savelle. What am I supposed to pray for Dr. Savelle? So you know what I did? Prayed in the Spirit. It's kind of humorous, but... So I did that morning. I said, okay, Lord, in accordance to what your word says, I want to ask you, what am I praying? And so I just began to listen. And prayed in the Spirit a little more. Listen. Prayed in the Spirit. Listen. And then in English, out of my mouth came the word depths. 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 Real strong. Real strong. Depths. Begin to pray in the Spirit some more. So, the Lord says, now go to the Word. So I did. And the first scripture I came across. Are you ready for this? We're talking about breaking through impossible situations. I know we're not supposed to say that word, right? Isn't that a bad word now, impossible? But y'all know what I'm talking about. Difficult situations, getting through. Let me find it. Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up, So he led them through the depths as through a pasture land. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through a pasture land. That's what I just prayed out. Depths. Depths. So I read that scripture and began to meditate on it. So I found another scripture, Psalm 77. Go there. Psalm 77. Verse 16. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The water was afraid. I've never seen this before. The depths, there's that word again, also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent a sound. Your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. I said, Lord, why did you, it says he rebuked the Red Sea. He rebuked the Red Sea.
My Lord.
Why did he rebuke the Red Sea? Because it was in the way of his people advancing.
Right.
And then we see in this verse, go to the 18. All right, go to 19. Let's see. Is it 19? It says, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. It says in this translation, your steps formed a highway through the sea with footprints on a pathway no one even knew was there.
Boy, that's good, huh?
He had already made a path. And nobody knew it. Because the things that you can see are temporary. But the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. So the things that you can see are temporary, which means they are, I'm bringing back these three words, subject to change. He had already made a path through the sea. He had already made a path. So wouldn't it make sense that he knew what he was doing if he had already made the path? Now watch this. The New Living Translation in Psalm 77, 16 says, when the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The sea quaked. The sea was afraid of God. The sea, the Red Sea, is every obstacle. It's representative of every obstacle that's in your way of advancing and progressing. And I want you to know tonight that God has made a way through the midst of your obstacle, through the midst of your circumstance or difficult situation. He's made a way. The Passion Translation says, when the many waters of the Red Sea took one look at you, they were afraid and ran away to hide, trembling to its depths. There's that word again. So I did a little study. I think it's fun. I looked up the Red Sea. And the dimensions of the Red Sea is 169,000 square miles. It's 10,000 feet deep. So it's almost 2 miles deep, not quite 2 miles deep. Now, they didn't cross in the deepest part of the Red Sea, but I'm going to help you understand what we're talking about here. When it's talking about that the depths of the Red Sea were afraid, the depths trembled, it's 10,000 feet deep.
That's good.
It's 56,000 cubic miles of water volume, which translated means 1 cubic mile of water volume is 1.1 trillion gallons of water. 1 cubic mile. 1.1 trillion gallons. Now follow this mouth. 1.1 trillion gallons of water is 1 cubic mile, and the Red Sea has 56,000 cubic miles. So 1.1 trillion times 56,000 is whatever that is. It's a lot. It's a lot. College degree coming into play. So the very depths, so all of these gallons from the depths that we can't even number quaked and trembled when it saw God to the very bottom, spread out all the way. It said it ran and hid from him. But the Israelites did not see that. The Red Sea saw God and quaked to its very depths. The Israelites saw the Red Sea and quaked. Stay in faith. Stay focused on the promise. He promised on the promised land. There's a way through. So here's what the Lord said to me after I began to meditate on this. This is what he said. The same depths the Lord will bring you out of is the same depths he will bury your enemies. The same depths the Lord will bring you out of is the same depths in which he will bury your enemies. He will bring you out of the depths of hardship that the enemy has put on you, but God's people are coming up and coming out. Hallelujah. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout tonight. Hallelujah. So this God, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 8. Watch this. This wasn't part of my notes until yesterday. Verse 22, Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, there's that word again. So God was there before there were depths. God was there before there was 1.1 trillion gallons of water times 56,000. Are you getting this? Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. I like this part. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. I like that part. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit. So all these greenies that think that they're in charge of the earth, God has set limits to what the sea can do. God has. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I'm having fun. This is our God. This is the God in you. This is the God in you. He says, He assigned the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Wow. So Moses, back to Exodus 14. And we'll begin to close here. Maestro, let's get you up early. Where's the maestro? Let's get you up early tonight. It's 7:55. The people will think, hey, the preacher's going to get done early tonight. So Moses tells the children of Israel, the people of God, to do what? Go forward. What happens if they remain? Can they go back? Pharaoh's closing in. Can they remain? They cannot. They have to go forward. I want you to know tonight that everything God has for you is forward.
Amen.
It's forward. It's just ahead of you. It's just ahead of you. Right? Right through the obstacle is restoration just on the other side. Right through the obstacle is the healing that you've been standing for right on the other side.
Amen.
Satan just wants you to be discouraged because this mountain.
Yeah.
But I got a scripture for you.
Mm-hmm. Come on, give it to me.
The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. I am a temple of the presence of the Most High God. He dwells in me. A fire goes before him and consumes his enemies. That means when I go, anywhere I go, he's going before me to consume enemies. I am wrapped with favor as with a shield. Goodness and mercy are following me. He's going before me with a fire. What can man do to me? That's our God. And he's in us. He's in us. Ha! Ha! That's why we can laugh. Because if you can see it, temporary.
That's right.
Subject to change. Subject to change. I'm not going to get in. I've got several ways, keys to breakthrough. And I'm not going to get into one of them tonight. I'll be back. I'll be back. You got to understand from tonight that your God. Your God. It's personal.
Yeah.
Your enemies are his enemies.
That's good.
That's right.
Let me give you a couple of scriptures for you to chew on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, some people stop right there. They'll make a song about it. Many. I thought you were going to start praying. We need one of those. We need Stuart. Where's Stuart at? Yeah, we need to. Oh, I always wanted to do the runs. I can never do them. I can never do the runs. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't stop there. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. Not a few. Not win some, lose some. All. Who does that? No, 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 no. My God. My God. Psalm 34, or in that same scripture in the Passion says, even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. The only way that you're defeated is if you quit. That's the only way. That's why David said, unless I had believed, I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He goes on to say, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say. He says it twice. On the Lord. The righteous cry out, Psalm 34, 17. And the Lord hears. I want you to know that if you've been crying out to Him in your secret place, in your whisper while you lay down at night, and the things that have plagued you, from that caused you to lose sleep at night, and you voice those to God, I want you to know He hears your prayer. He's with you. See, He wasn't just the difference between us and the people of Israel. Is he was with them cloud by day, fire by night. He's in us. He's in us. The creative power force that created the universe of the Most High God is in us.
Amen.
He's in us.
In us.
Amen.
Amen.
Everything that was created.
My Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He's in us. So when Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, go therefore, ho, ho, ho. He's not only in me, He's given me the authority.
That's right. That's it.
To command things.
That's right.
He's given me the authority to use the name of Jesus. He's given me authority to lay hands on the sick. He's given me the authority to cast out devils. He's given me the authority.
Amen. Amen.
He's delegated that back to me, you.
Yes.
As His original intent was from the beginning.
Yes, sir.
We're made in His image. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. And we're going to end right here tonight. Isaiah 51. Has this helped you? You walk out. Hey, you walk out of here with your chest out, your head held high. That's not some cocky, arrogant thing. It's confidence in God. And who He is in us. That wipes out any imperfections. It's called the trump card. It's the ace of spades. Whatever. Isaiah 51 will end here. Verse 10. And you are not the one. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? Next. So the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. That's why you shouldn't be walking through these doors once you get this. You're not walking through these doors sad, depressed. No, no, no. He's already done it. He's done it. The pathway's there. The footprints have been made in the obstacle. They're there. The path is there.
It's done. It's done.
You start looking with your spiritual eyes. Stay in faith. You'll begin to see things you haven't seen before. And things that have distracted you, you keep your focus. on the God that has made a path through the obstacle. Don't let him distract you. They come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. I like that. I think joy on your head will grow more hair on the top of your head. That's what I think. I'm into that. Praise the Lord for that. Hey, it's happened. Listen, it's happened. It's happened in meetings. They told stories about it. And we're going to see, it says that the latter days will be greater than the former of His glory. There was money that appeared in people's wallets sitting in church. You're not going to get it watching online. That money's not going to appear in your wallet. You have to get to church. That's when the money comes in the wallet. I'm just having fun. I'm talking about supernatural debt cancellations. I'm talking about supernatural money coming into bank accounts. I'm talking about checks that come out of nowhere in the mailbox. I'm talking about people that put you in their will, and you didn't even know you were in their will. You didn't. It's happened, which means it's happening. I'm talking about cars that appear in your driveway. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's an old song. You remember that one? Where's your mom at? Is she here? You remember that old song? There come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon them. Do you remember it? They say I sing songs that nobody knows. That's what the whole worship team said about me. They made fun of me at the Helps Banquet. They said, well, Eric picked songs that nobody knows. Well, where did y'all? Did y'all not grow up in church too? I mean, we grew up singing though. You know that one?
Yeah.
It's a turn to page 265. You always skip verse 3. You go 1, 2, and 4 every time. Every time. The worship leader is always a guy that's had... Anyway. Like, it looks like that worship leader needs some joy that he's singing about. It's like his voice is such a bass voice, you know. He's got the double chin that shakes when he was up on their heads. They shall obtain. It's like, bro, I want to take a picture of you so you know what you look like, so you see what we see. Brother Jerry said he's going to write a book. A funny thing happened on the way to church. Some funny stories. Verse 12. I, even I, am He who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? Is that what that said? Who are you that you should be afraid?
Amen.
Who do you think you are being afraid? I mean, we're talking about the God that created everything. If we only knew. If we only knew what was forward, if we only knew how big the footprint is through the obstacle, It's already been done. Jesus already did it. He already did it. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? Nothing compares to our God. Will you stand?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are an awesome God. You're an amazing God. You're a wonderful God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You only do good. You do good. Hallelujah. You're an awesome God. You're an amazing God. You are abundantly above all we could ask, think, dream, or imagine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, as Eric was ministering out of Proverbs chapter 8, and he gets and he talks about how the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works were old. I've been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. And he goes forward, goes through all that, and then he gets over to verse 31. He goes, rejoicing in his inhabited world. But get this, then it says, and my delight was with the sons of men. So God is saying, he's sitting at the right hand of God and he sees everything that's taking place and everything that's going on. He's rejoicing in what God has made. But yet Jesus, because that's who he's referring to, he says, my delight is in the sons of men. Wow. God's saying, it's wonderful everything that God did, but Jesus goes, but my delight is in the sons of men. He cares about you. He's concerned with every detail of your life. Hallelujah. If you need healing in your body, come up here. Eric, you need to lay hands on people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His delight, his delight is in the sons of men. God's delight is in this place. His love for you is amazing, is extraordinary. He delights in the sons of men. Hallelujah. All the amazing things that God created, he saw at the right hand of God, but yet Jesus says, and all that, my delight is in the sons of men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Celeboso brota rabaya. Isotor robose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just start praising him. Just praise him. Hallelujah. Let's have an atmosphere. Hallelujah for the miraculous. Hallelujah. Oh, anointing flow. Anointing. Thank you for the anointing. The anointing. Hallelujah. That renews. The anointing that makes alive. The anointing that quickens. The anointing that strengthens. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sebro stabrabaya. Esotor robosa brane, esebretilistibrada namaya. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Natalie, just come up here and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elemosor rabaya. Esor rabasa telebaya. Oya mama manderida lamaya. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorabaya. Ana mahasele moso brona maya. Hey, so, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Ora mahandeshta braya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Odna maya. Oh, sa. Anointing flow in this body. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. For the weight of glory. The weight of glory. Your weight of glory. Oh, rabababase. The weight of glory. Ha. Hallelujah. The glory to be so heavy on every individual. Hallelujah. That the goodness, the presence, and the power, the glory is so heavy. Hallelujah. It eliminates every attack of the enemy. It eliminates every sickness, every disease. It eliminates every the glory. Hallelujah. So mamaya. Ezorobo. Ah, ooh, that joy, everlasting joy will be on their heads. Everlasting joy. Joy, 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 joy. Joy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everlasting joy. Woo. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power that's working right now in those that are watching by way of internet. I thank you for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Resting in their homes, resting in their vehicles right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Selamu sarabaya. Hallelujah. Thank you that you crowned us. Hallelujah. With loving kindness. Crowned us with a crown of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Holy, holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Barbara or Steve, do you have anything? I just want to honor your gift. So if there's anything you have by the Spirit of the Lord, no pressure to, but I do want to honor your gift. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. These are dear friends of ours, and they actually started the 24/7 prayer ministry at Calvary Cathedral and taught there a number of years. Now they have a ministry where they minister to ministers, and hallelujah.
For you have created an atmosphere for my presence, saith the Lord, that I can inhabit your praise. And I can fill your days with my goodness, and I can carry it out from this place to the uttermost parts of the world. And so as it goes, so you go. You go in your strength, and you go in your light, and you go in your power, and you go in my might. And as I send this word forth, so I send you too. And you're going to go places and do things you never thought you'd do. For some sitting in this place this very night are going to go, and you too are going to be on flights. Flights here and flights there. Places I'll send you and places you'll go. And the same spirit that flows in this place will go along with you. For I will inhabit you in greater ways in the upcoming days than I've ever done before. I will move through you in ways and by the Spirit operating in you, operating by my holy power. For we have now stepped into a tremendous hour where the word will race like fire through the land. The word will race, and oh, it'll be grand. And you'll be a part of the grandness of the plan. So get ready and pack your bags in the spirit and in the natural to go, because I'm going to send you to places that you don't even know. Hallelujah.
We receive it. Let's give him praise for that word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We receive that. We receive that. We receive that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Woo. Hallelujah. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We receive that word. Hallelujah. We receive the word. Woo. Hallelujah.